Ladies and gentlemen,
you want experience during your football season? Well, buckle up, sweet cheeks.
That's all we need.
We've got all the experience in the world. This is I Want Your Flex with Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon. Mike and Dan break down everything you need to set your lineups. From position rankings to starts and sits, the guys help you make those hard decisions. And now, let's get your flex on. Here's Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon.
It's another edition of I Want Your Flex. Let's call it the postseason edition. Or actually, Mike, what I think is the better way, our first preseason edition of 2022, as we get you set for the draft that you're likely to have 6 or 7 months from now, as the 2022 fantasy football season, in my mind, starts right now. There is no time better than right now to start thinking about fantasy, because you're still in football mode. You can get a head start on your competition if you start doing the work now.
Start getting some of that research in. And let's face it, Dan, it's really good to talk to you, because you know what it means? We still both have jobs here on the Monday at the end of the regular season, so that's good for you and I, and for all you listeners out there, and our buddy Ryan Bershinger, of course. But yeah, just plan the work the plan. Start putting whatever you would normally do with your statistics, you can do them now. They're not changing.
Get Mike on Twitter at Swollen Dome. You can find me on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox, coming up a little bit later in this episode. And really, it is the reason that you're listening to this episode. We will start our 2022 fantasy draft. So we are going to hold a draft just like you would in August with your buddies. We are going to do it with the 2022 season ahead. Ryan Bershinger is our executive producer. He will be here as well. So Ryan, Mike, and myself will end up doing a draft, and we will continue the draft through these episodes that go through the Super Bowl. And again, the I Want Your Flex podcast now trims down to once a week. So we hope to have about 5 or 6 rounds of a fantasy draft that will prep you for success starting next season. As Mike mentioned, there are some coaching moves. There are some GM moves. We are taping this as of Monday afternoon Eastern time, late morning Monday Pacific time. So there already have been moves that have been made, but there may be more to come. And so if they happen later on Monday or maybe into Tuesday, we obviously can't address those because of the time that we are recording. But what we can address before we get into the coaching and before we get into our draft is what happened last night in Las Vegas. And it's so much, Mike, it's so much more than just playing for the tie or Brandon Staley's timeouts. My takeaway with all of this is it really had me questioning people's knowledge of football. And we know how much people love football and how much they live for the NFL or even college football. But to see how things played out and to read the discourse that happened on social media last night over the final seconds of last night's game, it really made me question what was happening in some people's brains when it comes to football. An absolute magnificent way to put an end to the 2021 regular season, but it also has me questioning the thoughts of some football fans out there.
Yeah, I just was confused watching all the arguments back and forth about the final minute. And certainly, like, I don't advise going for it on 4th and 2 from your own 18. But the fact of the matter is, and this is where I think a lot of this gets hard. It's the tradition versus instinct versus numbers. And the numbers that Brandon Staley uses in the analytics world are like big picture, you know, lots of events, right?
Yeah.
To be statistically relevant, something has to occur at least 30 times. That's what we were told. Not that you don't use smaller sample sizes, but to give yourself some rounding and errors and, you know, an error threshold, you get to 30 plus. So he's not doing it in a vacuum of, hey, we've run this 3 times. Let's see what happens. So that one, obviously, I don't see the win there. But when we're talking about the end of game, and I think you pointed it out, it's like, all right, play clocks. And I throw this theory out here for you, Dan. If I'm the Raiders, do I not try to push the, oh, yeah, we would have taken the tie narrative as far as I can? Just for the idea that you vanquished
salt
a division.
Of the wounds?
Yeah, you vanquished a division foe and kept them out of the playoffs. You had the coach on the hot seat. You can create chaos beyond just going to the playoffs by saying, oh yeah, we were totally going to do that. But then when they called the timeouts, like, they still had to run the ball.
Yeah, they were
going to stop them on third down.
They were going to run a play. The narrative that the Raiders were fine with letting the clock run out and that Brandon Staley messed that up is false. And I think that Derek Carr also added to the whole scenario by saying, yeah, it changed the way that we were thinking. No, what changed the way that you were thinking was Josh Jacobs ran for 10 yards on that carry to get you into legitimate field goal range in that scenario. That's what ended up changing your thinking, because if he doesn't get the first down, now you're kicking a 55, 56-yard field goal for what? With the opportunity that it maybe gets blocked. I don't think Daniel Carlson would be short and you could get a return, but you never know. But a 47-yard field goal is much more reasonable, and there was a headline even on Pro Football Talk that I saw today on their Twitter page. It says, Bisaccia admits timeouts changed their thinking. And then I read the entire quote from Rich Bisaccia, and the entire quote said, we wanted to see if they were going to take a timeout or not on that run. They didn't, so we thought they were thinking the same thing. And then we popped the run in there and gave us a chance to kick the field goal to win. That was the point of that Rich Bisaccia was making that I was trying to make, but nobody is, I don't want to say nobody, a lot of people are also agreeing with me as well, but the people who are missing the point is, it wasn't until Josh Jacobs ran for those 10 yards on that third down that the Raiders seriously considered kicking that field goal. That is how it played out, and the timeout by Brandon Staley did not allow the Raiders or stop the Raiders from running out the clock. As you mentioned, the play clock was down to 4. Pointed that when there's 38 seconds on the clock, they could have only ran it down to 34 and still had to run a play, and they weren't taking a knee. It's so absurd. I have lost respect for some people's football knowledge for the people that can't get that through their thick skull.
Well, but the bigger thing, going back to the timeout, Dan, is if you were going to take the timeout, like you want to argue this part of it, take the timeout early instead of late. I'll listen to that.
Yeah.
As to letting time run off the clock before you called it, you want to say that that's dumb. Sure, I'll listen to that. But again, you still have to make a stop on third down. And Derek Carr betrayed himself in his answer in the post game because he talked about it. Yeah, it changed it. But then he later said, "We didn't want to tie. We wanted to win." And that was the mindset the whole time. It's like, okay, so which is it?
Yeah,
so now it becomes correct. This great, you know, urban legend of, well, yeah, we were going to take the tie, right? The little shot with Austin Eckler and the look on his face, whatever else. Like, but again, owing to the percentages analytics to the larger thing and to put it on the Raiders, what's the percentage chance? Not to say it can't happen, but of that field goal getting blocked and run back for a touchdown.
Yeah, it's slim,
it's slim.
Yeah, but it's still
there. But the point is, like I still don't think they're, even if they get stopped, he still trots out, doesn't he?
Not for a 55-yarder. I think then they if he gets stopped.
But if he misses, they're still in the playoff.
If he misses the field goal.
Yeah.
But what happens is it's fourth down.
Sure.
So if Jacobs doesn't get the first down, it's fourth down and there's 30 seconds and the clock continues to run. And at that point, then I'm sure that they probably let it run out. Or if the Chargers were to call a timeout, I think that they would probably just punt it. But it's all because they got into reasonable field goal position on that run is what I think.
Yeah, I still think Carlson had the big leg and there still would have been for the integrity, the sanctity of the game, and not to hear it, I still think they would have attempted.
I think that there's a big difference between 57 and 47.
Oh, 100%. 100%. But in this day and age where we got guys super jocking it all over the place at 60 yards and Carlson with the leg, if he misses, unless it's going to cost him a bonus because he loses a percentage point on his field goal accuracy for the year, unless that's going to happen, I don't know. I never trust that the other team's doing what, in theory, you do.
The Brandon Staley issue, just to put that to rest, I'm totally taking him in saying Brandon Staley's not to blame for the timeout. The execution, the guys that they had on defense at that time, you mentioned the fourth down play deep in their own territory. That is all fair game, but just for the timeout in that scenario, I don't think that you can criticize. And what I think people do, Mike, is if they don't like Brandon Staley going for fourth all the time, they then use this as ammunition to criticize him even more because it seemingly adds to their argument. And I don't think that's fair, and I don't think that's right. And in fact, I think it's incorrect. And that's what I see a lot of.
As we began Monday, right now in earnest, 35-32, your final playoff grid is set, and we start moving ahead. Hell, maybe we'll actually talk some more about the players and the craziness that we saw. I mean, because you can't do all of this without at least acknowledging the greatness of the Jacksonville Jaguars and the clown show. The clown outworked, baby, and Trevor Lawrence played inspired football, if only for one day. But the fact of the matter is, you've got, as other coaches are getting fired, you got people calling for Staley's job. You're going to waste Justin Herbert with your algorithms and your statistics. And, you know, the number, like if I had the old, if I had a nickel for both Harbaugh and Staley's names linked in a tweet. And by that, I mean, over in Baltimore, not
Jim
Harbaugh,
John.
And whether he leaves Michigan or not. But if I take Harbaugh and Staley together on Twitter, you'd be a very rich person just scrolling for about 10 minutes.
383 yards and 3 touchdowns for Herbert in that defeat.
Unbelievable.
Really. Wasting. I know, and he's a defensive coach. That's the thing with Staley. I don't think that Justin Herbert's status, though, is anything to be worried about.
Just unbelievable. Right. But let me just add one last thing.
Okay. Hurry up, Harmon!
The thing problem with the damn Chargers all year was the thing that killed him in the game. Not just the right tackle not looking like he'd ever played an NFL game, and Crosby could have been defensive player of the year if he had another couple of those matchups on the book. But the idea was the run game all year had been the Achilles heel of that Chargers defense. And the much maligned Raiders offensive line came through big, and Josh Jacobs oft injured, and a guy we talk about in fantasy, if he's healthy, can you trust him, .. Well, for one night, he was the hero.
Get Mike on Twitter, at Swollen Dome. You can find me on Twitter, at Dan Beyer on Fox. Let's transition to some of the coaching and GM moves that are happening in the National Football League. And, Mike, I know that the Bears are obviously near and dear to your heart. There are other moves that are happening. What I want to know, from the news that we know right now, what movements, coaching or GM-wise, with one specific team, do you think will have the most effect on fantasy in 2022?
Probably Denver, because there's a lot of bodies there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? From what they decide to do with Melvin Gordon, but we already know you got Javonte Williams. They've already re-upped those wide receivers. Noah Fant was a top 10 tight end this year. It's all about the quarterback position and what they decide to do and what type of coach. We would assume, you know, the old thing of we had an old defensive coach, so now it'll be a young offensive whippersnapper, in theory. Who
we
likes
think.
Analytics, in theory.
Adam Gase, but, maybe. No, I'm kidding.
But, I mean, maybe, I don't know, the old, just pick a name out of the hat. But the idea being that maybe you're bringing in someone to harness the power of what that offense truly can be and not a placeholder or a game manager kind of guy. I like what I saw, at least in Week 18, from Drew Lock, but I'm not so sure that that's where they put their proverbial eggs in the basket for 2022.
I find the Giants interesting for how they use Saquon Barkley towards the end of the season, which made no sense whatsoever in running him into the ground. And now Dave Gettleman is gone. But the word out of New York is that Joe Judge right now is going to stay. That could maybe change if the new GM comes in. But I would think that if the new GM ends up having the conversation with ownership, that as part of that, Joe Judge would stay. But there's a part of me that says, all right, if you don't realize that running Saquon Barkley into the ground at the end of the season is probably not good for your long term, then what does it mean next season? However, I will take this spin on it. I will put this spin on it. It at least shows the commitment to the run, where if Saquon Barkley could stay healthy, Maybe Joe Judge will just run him into the ground all of next year. So that
isn't what you're supposed to do with a running back anyway, Dan?
Why not? Just keep on giving him the ball. It just didn't make it didn't make a lot of sense. And you pointed it out on the podcast that, you know, it was only a 100-yard game, ends up coming in week 17, and they, you know, are getting destroyed. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to do that. And then that makes me think, well, maybe that's part of Joe Judge's plan moving forward. So you've got his fifth year option picked up. Now the question is going to be, you know, what do you do extension wise? It just doesn't, if you even do it that way, but you've got him for next year, why not run him into the ground? I actually think in a weird way, Saquon Barkley's value is increased because of Joe Judge using him the way that he did late in the season.
Yeah, as long as he gets to stay, because you had Tony and Galladay finished the year without touchdown receptions.
Man, what a
first
waste.
Round pick and a lot of money.
What a waste.
Just absolute waste. I mean, Minnesota moving on from Zimmer while expected. I mean, Captain Kirk makes too much money unless they're going to just say, all right, we can offset his salary by the fact that the salary cap goes up $20 million. I mean, well, that's really all you can do.
And honestly, Mike, I don't think that Justin Jefferson's situation would change. He's still going to be a top receiver. Yep. Dalvin Cook is still going to be a top running back despite the, you know, his injury history and times at missing games. He still runs, you know, like a beast. So I don't think that changes. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see who Minnesota brings in, both GM and head coach wise, and it looks like they're going to hire a GM first and then a head coach to go with that general manager. But yeah, I don't think Minnesota's, you know, I don't want to say glitzy, but they've got some top fantasy performers, but I don't know how much it changes because those guys are already on top.
And then you go down to Miami, and, well, clearly the GM likes Tua Tagovailoa. So Jalen Waddle will catch a lot of balls because they like each other. Mm-hmm. And they have a fantastic rapport. So he goes over 100 catches on the year. And maybe all the talk of him being displaced for Deshaun Watson, that is, for Tua, goes away. Not that he becomes some fantasy dynamo, but some of the other principals there. Hell, Duke Johnson became a fantasy stud down
Duke
the stretch.
Johnson.
So I'm just confused as hell as to how this season ended, Dan. The Bears, I'll do a separate three-hour rant because I just got word that Ted Phillips is going to be involved with hiring the GM. So to that end, the McCaskies continue to do the same thing. So, yeah, we'll be having the conversation about their head coach in another 3 years again as well.
Bears going to be speaking with Leslie Frazier, the Bills defensive coordinator. Broncos going to be talking with Dan Quinn, the Cowboys defensive coordinator. Quinn seems to be the real big name out there for teams. And Denver's got a lot to attract. We'll see what the other jobs do as well. All right, it is that time. We bring in our executive producer, Ryan Bershinger, who will make a part of this. You know, I've got the pyramid. This is a pyramid because we're all on the same level here. This is a triangle. We've got a triangle of fantasy minds coming together to start a 2022 fantasy draft. And again, this is not drafting of teams. So we're not going to say, hey, I need a quarterback. I'm drafting this guy. Over the next six episodes that we have, we will complete a six-round draft with a PPR league scoring system, and Ryan, Mike, and myself will just be drafting players that we think should go in that order. And I'll tell you what, Ryan Bershinger does a lot of work behind the scenes here as our executive producer. So, Bersh, you're going to get the first pick.
Oh.
Harmon's going to get the second pick, and then I will pick third. We will not snake it back. We will just continue to go in that order because we want to give you, the listener, of the order that we think that player should go. Sure, a guy may drop if I end up taking a guy that Ryan didn't want or Mike didn't want and leaving somebody there for them. That can happen, but this should give you a little bit of an idea as well of where you can get guys in your draft. The good thing, guys, is I'm not sure how many stars we're going to see in the 2022 NFL actual draft in late April, early May that will have fantasy implications. So I think a lot of the names that we're going to be talking about in these six rounds are going to be names right now that we will also be talking about in August. There's not going to be too many new names popping up just because they're rookies. I love Garrett Wilson and I love Chris Olave, but I just don't know if they're going to be popping up in our drafts. So with that being said, Ryan Bershinger, you are on the clock with the first overall pick in the 2022 fantasy draft. Who would you select?
Well, looking back on this season, there was a clear number one throughout the year. Obviously, Derrick Henry was heading towards that, but then he got hurt. I'm going to go with the guy who's probably going to be on the top of most draft boards, and that will be Jonathan Taylor, number one.
Jonathan Taylor is off the board at number one. Mike, does that surprise you with you sitting there at number two? You and I throughout the season mentioned that Christian McCaffrey's reign as the top running back. Yeah, has come to an end, but Jonathan Taylor takes the top spot for Bershinger.
No shock there. Fantastic offensive line, certainly the mindset. And look, Carson Wentz did the two-step well, and his numbers were fine. Except when they needed him to win a game, Dan, but we're not talking about winning games here. We're talking about fantasy titles, and that means Jonathan Taylor goes to number one. Number two, I mean, Bursch mentioned him, the ridiculous first half of the season. I'll roll the dice that Derrick Henry, I mean, if he's going to be able to be cleared in theory in these playoffs with the Titans having the number one seed and a first-round bye, I'll bank on the fact that for 2022, he's ready to run amok again.
This is a spot that I don't envy myself being in. I like both of your picks, and I can understand both of your picks. I think that there's a name that I should obviously pick, but there's actually a different name that I'm going to go with. And I'll just tell you the name I'm going to pick. At number three, I'm going to pick Alvin Kamara, okay, of the Saints. And the reason I am doing this, and there are other names out there, and I'm not going to name them because I don't want to say I was going to pick this guy or I was going to pick that guy. I think that Sean Payton got an idea of, all right, this is what life is like with Jameis Winston as quarterback, or this is how we are going to proceed. I think the Saints are going to be very active in the offseason in trying to shore up that quarterback position, and I actually think that will only enhance Alvin Kamara's stature. So I am going to ride the horse down to New Orleans and take Alvin Kamara with the third overall pick. There are other names that were out there, but I'm going with Kamara.
I dig that. Run the ball through him. So long as he stays healthy, the touch count should be 20 or thereabouts. And with a little bit more of a lean, perhaps, to the receiving side of the game, which keeps him healthy, in theory.
All right, Ryan Bershinger, you are up at number four.
So we saw the explosiveness of this player this season. Finished, I believe, as RB2 on the year. I'll take Austin Eckler here at number four.
There you go.
That's Mike's fantasy running back. Not MVP, but fantasy player of the year at the running back position, even over Jonathan Taylor.
So. Yes. Well, you know, I like undrafted guys, kind of like me, unheralded, unwanted, and then you rise to great prominence, something like that. Fantastic year, and obviously, the future is bright for putting up points. Now just figure out how to stop them. See, last night's still ringing in my ears, fellas. I'm going to go to the other side of town, and a guy, since we're talking PPR, yeah, it's Cooper Kupp. No matter what you did, you can't stop him. And you may not like Matt Stafford in game situations. Again, I don't care about your damn game situations. Cooper Kupp's going to catch 10 balls a game and continue to do so.
Cooper Kupp is off the board, number five overall in our 2022 fantasy draft. Bursch, as this has gone on, first five picks, anything shocking to you, anything that stands out as you see these five?
I wouldn't say shocking. I think me personally, I would probably have Eckler as number three on my board behind Taylor and Henry. But I totally see the rationale there with Kamara. I still think he's going to be a top half of the first round pick because, like you said, I think he's going to put up more numbers than he did this past season because that quarterback is going to improve.
All right, guys, I'm going to take the guy that actually led running backs in receptions this past year. Najee Harris of the Pittsburgh Steelers. With Big Ben riding off into the sunset, Harris ended up with 74 receptions. Such a main part of that offense, and I think that will continue in year number two. I will take Najee Harris at number six.
Does it concern you at all that the next quarterback will be able to throw the ball 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage?
It does a little, but I think that could also open up some running lanes for Najee Harris as well.
Well put.
All right, Ryan Bershinger, we are halfway through this fantasy draft, and again, Jonathan Taylor went one, Derrick Henry two, Alvin Kamara three, Austin Eckler four, Cooper Kupp five, and Najee Harris six. Bershinger, you are up at number seven.
I'll go with a guy who I still think is going to be a pretty safe pick in the first round next year. And with a new head coach coming in, I think certainly they're still going to give them the ball plenty. I will take Dalvin Cook here at number seven.
Dalvin Cook, the first Viking off the board.
Nicely done. Nicely done. I am going to go back to the well at the wide receiver position. Look, I grabbed Cooper Kupp at the 5 slot. Now looking at the 8th slot and looking at the best players available. And I think his quarterback stays mired in controversy, but you can't stop Davante Adams.
No, you can't.
Especially when they, you know, continue to link up in that division and dominate for years to come.
We had a situation, and I pause because I'm thinking back to my personal fantasy league, where we have holdovers, and there was someone who was deciding on what they wanted to do, and Aaron Rodgers' situation was up in the air at that point. Guy ended up, he says, you know what, I am going to keep Davante Adams, going to end up rolling the dice, and obviously keeping him, the way that the guy's team fared this year wasn't great, but keeping him ended up being the smart move. And when you are drafting, and if you are having a late draft, you obviously will know where Davante Adams will be. And if Aaron Rodgers is back next year, to your point, yeah, makes him a no-brainer to go in the top 10, considering how great he is. Also, just considering the question marks of the other running backs that are available, and that's where I sit at number 9, and Christian McCaffrey is still there. Joe Mixon had a great year with the Cincinnati Bengals as being a player. I'm going to actually stick with the wide receivers, though. I'm going to go Justin Jefferson at number 9. I just, from what we talked about a little bit earlier, expect things to kind of stay status quo in Minnesota. Maybe they try to shore up that offensive line a little bit more. I just expect a different sort of Vikings team, but I think Jefferson continues to get his numbers. So I'm going to go Justin Jefferson. With right now, there are a lot of running backs that I just have question marks about that I don't know if one guy would separate himself from the other. So I'm going Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, and especially playing in the NFC North and Chicago, where they don't bother to cover him at times. There's 40-yard touchdown for you.
Twice a year you get that opportunity.
That's right, big games.
All right, so we've got 3 wide receivers, 6 running backs off the board. No tight ends, no quarterbacks. Our final 3 picks of our first round of the 2022 fantasy football draft with a PPR scoring system. Ryan Bershinger, you are up.
Yeah, I would have taken Jefferson here if he was still available. I'm going to
another
go
great
ahead.
Pick by me, by the way.
Oh,
another,
yeah,
just
no
a
question.
Great pick. Yes,
that's all we ever talked about.
I'm going to go ahead and raise one of those questions, because right now I'm sitting at the back end of the first round, meaning that in the snake draft, in a 10-team league, I get another pick right after this. In a 12-teamer, I've still got that pick coming just a few picks after. So I can afford to take a little bit of a risk here, and I'm going to take the guy with the highest ceiling, despite the fact that he's been hurt for 2 years. I will go ahead and take Christian McCaffrey here at number 10, simply because that ceiling is so high, and if he's healthy, he's in contention to be the top player in fantasy.
And in the 4 games he plays for you, he is going to produce. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. On a per-game basis, if we were to argue that, he's the most prolific scorer in the history of fantasy football.
You want to talk about change. They need to get guys that can block, and if they can do that, and if they settle their quarterback position, then maybe at will open up for Carolina.
Sam Darnold is on the books for $18.8 million.
Yum. All right, Harmon, your last pick of our first round of our fantasy draft will be?
Ready to continue our theme of taking a lot of guys out of the NFC North. DeAndre Swift.
I was hoping he was going to drop the 12. Oh, geez.
The fighting Campbells. I like the direction, and with no Anthony Lynn there to really bog down things, and he was a placeholder. He was just collecting a check towards the end there. I'm excited to see what they are in year 2. It may be an absolute train wreck, but this guy's ceiling is very, very high if things break right. And it's nice to say first round Detroit Lion. Fantasy draft pick.
Yeah, this is. I will have the final pick, and I really wish DeAndre Swift was sticking around there for me. I was hoping, and in the end, it does not work out. So I am going to have to go another direction, and it's pretty crazy to think. But the 17-game schedule does kind of skew a few things. Tyreek Hill is still out there, but honestly, after a 1,200-yard season. kind of looked at as a down year for Tyreek Hill, considering the other seasons that he's had. Did not break the double-digit mark when it comes to touchdowns. There's a couple of Bengals there that I'm looking at. I will go. Man,
it's tough. Well, because even you mentioning Tyreek Hill, right? You look at the way his season progressed. You got a couple of huge, like the aggregate is there, but it's a couple of games.
Yes. Right?
We're not playing best ball for the season. So that slot gets you that amount of points. Week to week, he was a detriment in a lot of leagues.
Yes, yes.
Particularly given where he was drafted.
You know, it's a PPR league, so that is going to end up somewhat altering it. I will go with Tyreek Hill at number 12. I will take a bit of a bounce back that maybe the Chiefs straighten things up. Still don't know if their running game is what it is. I think that there are serious questions about Travis Kelce, but this is the old guy, get off my lawn guy, who's not ready to pull the trigger on some of the young guns that are there. And honestly, I still think that he is option number one in Kansas City. So, with everything that has played out, if Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback, I would at least feel safe with having Tyreek Hill this season. Huge number of receptions. Yards just weren't necessarily there. Big plays weren't there. As Mike said, at times he was an absolute stinker for you. But I'll still take him over what is still there. There are a lot of good guys that are still remaining, by the way.
Well, but that's it. Not to, you know, look ahead too much to round two. I really thought you were going to do all the Tyreek Hill and then just say, yeah, I'll take Travis Kelce.
Well, what I didn't want to do is this is what I hate, guys, and we can wrap it up with this, is the guy in the draft that tells you the nine guys he was considering.
Sure.
And then, so no matter what, this guy staked claim to nine guys take credit for, even though eight of them are not on his team because they've gone to everybody else. So I don't want to sit there and run down the names of all the guys that are there, because guess what? Ryan will pick the one right after me. You'll pick the one, and there'll be a couple of others that are left for me. So I didn't want to name names, but I also hate, I was going to take him. Well, then why didn't you? Because you're about to take nine other guys. All righty. That is the first round of our fantasy draft. Again, we'll have six rounds complete. We'll have five more rounds to go in episodes, again, that will launch every Tuesday. We will take a look back at Wild Card Weekend. It's a little different episode today. We didn't preview the Wild Card games, but we will look back at those and look ahead to the divisional matchup in the next episode and give you round two of our fantasy draft. All right, any final thoughts, Harmon?
All I know is going into the Wild Card Weekend, Dan, the two teams I picked on your big grid in our Fox Sports radio studio are alive for the Super Bowl. I don't know what that means, but in the moment, Kansas City and San Francisco are still fighting. So I'm at least alive in those two columns on the board.
I've got Rams and Bills, and I don't know if I should be sticking with that or not. I changed last year, and it burned me. It burned me when I made an alternate pick at the playoffs, so I will have to decide at a later time if I will move off of Rams and Bills, but history tells me to not do so. So for Mike Harmoner, you can find on Twitter at Swollen Dome, and our executive producer, Ryan Bershinger, and that's where you can find him on Twitter. I'm Dan Beyer. Hit me up on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox. We will talk to you next week.